Welcome to the Jazz Notes podcast. I am your host, James Tran, and with me is a very special guest again from the Hard Hitting Sports podcast, Jack Bradley. Go ahead and say hi, Jack.
How's it going, everybody? I think some of you may know why I'm here. The Jazz played the Celtics tonight. Good game. It was a really good game, solid game, very entertaining, but James was kind enough to have me on. I hope I don't get roasted too bad for going 0-2 against the Jazz this year, but excited to be here as always.
And for you, Jordan, I'm going to do this for you because you always post it. How are you doing, Jack? I'm here checking on you.
Fun fact, that's usually me posting it, but yes. Oh.
Okay, I didn't know that. Dang it. Sounds funny now.
Sometimes it's Jordan. It's Jordan, but most times it's me.
Yeah, that's the only reason. That was one of the biggest reasons why I wanted the Jazz to win, so I can do that. But now it's kind of like anticlimactic.
That's okay.
So today, of course, is the second edition kind of to the Celtic Pride podcast with the Jazz and the Celtics talking about what's going on. We meant to do this the first time the Jazz and Celtics played, but it was a little late on the East Coast side for Jack to join on, which is totally understandable. And I think I ended up doing it that next morning anyway, so it wouldn't have worked out. Anyway, so we're going to get into the podcast. Of course, we've already talked about 20 times. The Utah Jazz, 28-10, are in Boston visiting the Celtics, who are 20-18 right now. And of course, it's a national televised game on TNT. They kind of had my notepad ready to counteract all the trash they're going to try to talk about Utah. But overall, very happy with the analysis. I was talking to Jack before what was going on. It's mainly Dwayne Wade and Candace Parker keeping Shaquille O'Neal in check, I think. I know sometimes they push his buttons a little bit, see what he says, but pretty much the pregame was talking about the Jazz, saying that with their current struggles that are going on right now, they're 5-5 as late, dropped 4 of their last 6 games, that, hey, it's going to happen. There's teams that are going to get schemed on you. You're getting attacked now, and it's going to happen. And just nothing really digging the Jazz of like, oh, yeah, they're falling to the earth now. You know, we all predicted this. No, it was more of a motivational, hey, Shaquille O'Neal even, but in when we're struggling, it's usually up to the players to get to with the coach and say, hey, we need extra practice time. What can we do to combat this? And I think that was really good input for Shaq to bring his insight from a player's perspective of how they handled it when he was on the court. So let's get into the first quarter. For the Utah Jazz, after two quick ISO possessions that didn't work for them, they start moving the ball more. They get a couple shots down early, and that was pretty much it for them. And then the Celtics, I noticed, were already getting to the Jazz weak spots, flooding the lane, hitting deep shots on their bigs. Tice really showing up early in that one. What did you see so far?
Yeah, basically like the first 6 minutes I had written down here, it looked like Jaylen Brown got a quick 8 points, his first 6 being in the paint. The Celtics weren't really shooting well from three, but like you said, Jaylen Brown was attacking the paint. Tice was getting into the bucket or getting into the lane. So big first quarter for them. I think Brown ended up with 10 in the first and Tice ended up with 5 rebounds in the first quarter. And overall, I think the Celtics had 16 points in the first quarter alone, which was one of their better quarters. I know they usually come out shooting. So it was good to see them take that over. And then I know you kind of touched upon it, but the Jazz, I think at one point, maybe 3 or 4 possessions in a row in the first 4 or 5 minutes, had like a couple straight turnovers. So wasn't looking too pretty early for them. But, you know, I knew they weren't going to stay down for too long. So I know Ingles helped you guys out a little bit out there.
Yeah, for sure. And that first one, the bench really stepped up. Then, you know, it was just early in that game, the Jazz playing very uninspired basketball. We leading with our recent struggle star, which is Bojan Bogdanović, missing shots, turning the ball over 3 times in the first quarter alone by himself, and just being non-threatening on defense. I mean, pretty much everybody's switching on him now as of late, and it's working. I know Jaylen Brown did it a few times. Halfway through that, you know, you talked about the first 6 minutes, the Jazz are down 5-14. So far early into this game, terrible shooting from the Jazz. Once they started spraying the ball, they hit two quick shots. And then after that, nothing. They started off 2 of 12. The defense has shown up on both sides. On this one, I guess that's a positive note for the Jazz, with the Jazz locking down the Celtics in the end of this first quarter, being able to climb back in. And it's mainly because the Jazz bench is definitely outperforming the Celtics bench so far in this one, being down 20-22 after 1 to the Celtics. So I think you pretty much talked about what your first quarter analysis on that. So I'll jump right into the second. After getting the game tied after the first possession, the Jazz start to get sloppy on offense and let the Celts build their lead back up, mainly thanks to Theis again. Both teams start this quarter red hot, but the Jazz are hotter at this point early into the first. The threes really starting to rain, which is just a breath of fresh air after a long few games with the threes not really dropping for us. And it's mainly thanks to Clarkson and Ingles, as you said. And now we can talk about Kemba Walker, because he was kind of your crappy player the last game, but he's really starting to hurt the Jazz now. And the Celtics start going on their run after the Jazz kind of finish off on theirs.
Yeah, I think Kemba definitely had a big second quarter at the beginning of the quarter. And then I think I had written down here too, the Jazz at one point were 10 of 14 from the field at one point in just the second quarter alone. So definitely going back and forth was huge, but Kemba had a huge game. I know, or I shouldn't say huge game. He had a huge second quarter. Mm-hmm. But like I said, like you said, the Jazz were starting to hit some threes. I don't know if you noticed Jason Tatum had a pretty big quarter at the end of the second there.
I put down, now Tatum gets jealous.
Yeah.
Kemba and Theis are getting all the points, so he decides to efficiently attack on both ends. It's not just on offense. He was really being aggressive on the defensive side now.
Yes. Yeah, which usually I'm the first one to criticize his defense. He sometimes this year hasn't been getting down for loose balls, grabbing rebounds, things of that nature, especially in crunch time. You know, he's a good ISO player, but on the defensive end, he's lacked a little bit. He's got those lengthy arms, so I know he's made some really nice steals this year, so it was nice to actually see him playing some defense, and especially against the Jazz team where you need to do that. That was nice to see on that little run he had where he had like 9 consecutive points or something along those lines.
Yeah, he had like 4 quick ones where he made a basket, then he stole it right away, come on, really?
Yeah.
I think it's so fun when we do it, but it's terrible when people do it.
Yeah, I can understand.
So, yeah, because of that, it's just terrible defense now for the Jazz. The Celtics seemingly scoring at will inside, mainly because Gobert is out of the game with favors in. Donovan finally shows up at the end of this one, making his first couple baskets late in this half. And, again, getting the Jazz back into this one. I know there's that flagrant foul that's the first time I think the Jazz ever got it this season. So
yeah, it was tough. I mean, it was the right call, but it was tough, but they only got 2 points out of that.
Yeah. They only got 2,
could have gotten what, potentially 6 if they hit a 3 after that.
Yeah.
So
that could have been deadly.
Yeah. But yeah. Especially down the half.
Because of it, the Jazz were able to get back into the game. I know there's that late foul call it was a foul. He got wrapped in the head. I think it was just a light whistle. I think that's what killed it.
Yeah.
But the Jazz are up 54-53 in the half. Again, bad defense from both teams. I don't know if you had the same expectations I do.
Yeah. Biggest thing from a Celtics point of view, no free throws in the first half from the Celtics, which was surprising because they were attacking the paint, but I don't know if that's just because Gobert wasn't contesting, and not even just Gobert, but the Jazz in general weren't contesting shots in the paint. The Celtics had 32 points in the paint at that point. So repeating basically what they did in the first quarter, because they had 16 in the first, 16 in the second. And then another takeaway, you guys in Utah were shooting 45% from 3, and we were at 25% at halftime. So kind of the difference, kind of good we were able to hang in, make it a one possession game at that point. But the no free throws, which you could see became a trend throughout the game, made it tough for us to hang in there.
Yeah, I know for the Jazz, if people are attacking us, it's pretty much you're in there with Gobert by himself, and he has been very disciplined this year, not fouling. I mean, he hasn't fouled out so far all season. Mm-hmm. By now, he would have been fouled out 3 or 4 times. Yeah. So it's Rudy really having that commit, you know, committing on one player, and if he gets beat, he gets beat. It's better than having him fouled out at the very end, and I think he's realized that. So that's one of the reasons the Jazz do a terrible job helping Gobert under the paint. So I think that's another reason why you guys didn't get a lot of, I mean, I'm sure there's a few missed foul calls in there on the paint, but the Jazz also don't really help. So we get in a halftime. So national media don't really say anything about the Jazz except for what they stated before. It's like, hey, every single team's going to come out, you know. It's like whenever the Lakers show up into town, everybody's going to try their best because half the fans in the stands are Lakers fans, so they want to prove them wrong.
Yeah.
So nothing to really report on the TNT broadcast. Yeah, it's kind of, I guess it will wrap up the podcast faster. So let's get into the third quarter. Mitchell and Jaylen Brown now have beef. After Brown puts Mitchell to the floor on a back down and kind of spins out and causing Mitchell to unseat himself, Brown slaps his butt, and then Mitchell comes back and slaps his arm. And I was expecting a little more one-on-one with each other, but it didn't really happen. I mean, towards the end of the game.
Jason Tatum was probably mediating the situation.
Yeah, maybe. But then the Jazz tried to get Bogey started. The offense started moving through him a little bit more after that terrible first half. Still not kind of working. He did get a backup post shot. He also got a good assist for a three. So it's kind of working. He seemed a little bit more controlled. And I think that was the main point. Hey, we're going to run through you, but you need to really control yourself. Joe Ingles is just draining threes in this one. The Jazz are starting to get the ball passed more efficiently as the game goes on. And we haven't been seeing that recently. In these losses, it seems like the Jazz just don't wake up and they can't pass the ball. So halfway through, the Jazz are up 66-63. What did you see during that first third quarter?
During the first part of the quarter, I mean, the Jazz had that huge 11-3 run at one point. One thing, I guess this was kind of towards the middle of the quarter, but after Donovan Mitchell dunk, they ran court and turn the ball right over again. And I think at that point it was 66-63, like you were saying. So I guess getting to where we were in the game. I mean, to go a little bit deeper into the quarter, I think at one point the Celtics had a 4-minute stretch where they didn't have any baskets between like the 7-minute till there was about 3 minutes left, which was very concerning. They weren't running a very great offense. Smart missed a couple shots. Rob Williams missed a few layups, which is very unlike him. And even, I think even before that, I think between like the 10-minute and 7-minute mark, they only had one basket. So the defense was playing well. The Jazz missed some open threes. I did have written down that the Celtics couldn't stay on their feet. Every pump fake that Clarkson was making, Conley was making, Mitchell was making, Jalen, Jason, whoever it was on their feet or was off their feet in the air. So thankfully the Jazz didn't take advantage of it too much at that point, but that's basically the biggest takeaway I had was that they could not stay on their feet and they couldn't make a basket.
Yeah. And you got to, I mean, going back to the Celtics, just jumping at everything at the same time, you have 6 Jazz players that are near 40% at the 3-pointers. You have Rudy Gobert, who's never missed a 3-pointer so far this season, but he hasn't taken one either. So, it's very understandable why people jump, and I'm just thankful that the Jazz at sometimes, especially when they're down, they'll try to force a foul and then they'll miss a shot completely. And they're a little bit more disciplined whenever someone jumped at their pump fakes. I also noticed during this second half that the whistles on the course have definitely loosened for both sides. Might be better for it because it seemed like at times this game was starting to get a little bit heated, more heated mm-hmm. than it should be. The Celtics definitely not afraid to attack the rim whenever Gobert is out, but I mean, what team isn't? LA again missed out on Tatum. So I like just stabbing that whenever I can.
That and Philly too, Jordan.
Yeah, Jordan. Jeez. Some rebuild. How dangerous would they have been if they just kept the smart picks like Ball, Clarkson, Ingram, Tatum, Randall? I mean, I know they're sitting good right now, but I mean, that's a young core, but it probably would have ended up being pricey anyways.
True.
So I noticed Tatum's back is starting to hurt this quarter. Definitely carrying the Celtics into the lead. And after three, the Celtics are up 79-77. They score 26 points to our 23. So both sides defensive stepped up a little bit more.
Yeah. Tatum's basically run, I wrote it down here, that he basically had an 8-0 run of his own, even though he only scored 6 points.
He had
a basket, then he actually had a block on Gobert, which maybe could have been a foul, but I think that may have been a makeup call for the Jaylen Brown one. I don't know if you were, I know you're talking about whistles that didn't get overturned.
I'm not too sure about that one.
Yeah. But anyways, Jason Tatum went down the court, threw up an alley-oop to Rob Williams, which is basically a cheat code at this point. You throw anything 13 feet above the basket or less, Rob Williams is catching it. And then Tatum had a nice 4-point play to basically give the Celtics actually a 1-point lead at 76-75. So that was promising to see. Like you said, he was carrying the team. The one I was talking about at one point, right before that run, actually, it was 72-68. Clarkson shot a three and they called a foul on Jaylen Brown. Celtics challenged it. I think that one, like I said, I don't like to be too biased, but I think they could have overturned that one because it looks like Clarkson did stick his foot out. Jaylen wasn't in his landing spot. So I think that one kind of, I don't want to say it changed the game because the Celtics came right back and took the lead, but definitely a tough call there. But like I said, that's what Jason Tatum's here for, carry the team and make them forget about those questionable calls.
Yeah. I think I remember that I was trying to play catch up and they challenged to play during a timeout.
Yeah.
Which you have to anyways.
They went to a commercial,
so,
yeah.
So that's why. And I think I watched the end of it. I didn't really overanalyze it, I think, mainly because I was in advantage. So so let's get into the fourth quarter. But before we get it, Jack, you have to do it right here on my podcast. You have to commit. All right? What is going to be your next NBA jersey?
Oh, can it be one that I already pre-ordered or one that I've ordered? I have one in the mail right now.
That counts. That counts. What is it?
Jaylen Brown.
Good. All right. He was going to do Lillard or Booker. I mean, come on.
I did buy a Damian Lillard like player t-shirt.
That's fine. I guess
that's the most recent one because I ordered it right after I ordered the Jaylen Brown one from Etsy.
Okay, so Jaylen Brown. All right. Mine's going to have to be Clarkson. Just every single time he comes off the bench, it just eases my mind because you should have saw him a year ago before they got him. It was just like whenever a player would go on the bench, it's like, great, now what?
Yeah.
And it's really inspired Ingles, too, I think, to play a lot better, to have somebody out there besides him having to be the scorer. And I think it really made Ingles a lot more comfortable so far this last season and a half. So getting into the fourth quarter, the Jazz start off on fire, very disciplined on both sides of the court and building up a lead again. After the starting this game 2 of 12 in that first quarter, the Jazz have made it up this quarter and that second quarter. They started off 7 of 9. That's pretty crazy. I like that. And Bogey finally hits a three. It's a Boston miracle. So halfway through, Jazz are up 98-93. What did you see during that first part of the fourth quarter before we start arguing at the end of the game?
I mean, basically, and if anyone's ever watched a Celtics game, I know there's obviously a lot of Jazz fans listening to this, but the Celtics always tend to do this. They go on a good run at the end of the third. Jason Tatum usually sits out the beginning of the fourth. Rob Williams usually sits out the beginning of the fourth. And as some of you maybe can tell, Rob Williams has been one of our more consistent players, has been a really great surprise for us, kind of like Clarkson for the Jazz. Rob Williams is definitely our sixth man and has been great. So I wasn't too surprised what was going on. The craziest part, I guess, was just Rudy Gobert posterizing Daniel Tice stood out to me. There's a lot of people in Boston probably calling for Tice's job after that. And to put Rob Williams in, I will give Brad Stevens credit, though. I've been pretty hard on him. He did bring Rob Williams in a little bit earlier than he had been. I think he brought him in at around the 8 minute mark. Because at one point, I know you said it when we're talking about from when it got to 92 to 86. Or 98 to 93, but at one point it was a 9-point game. So the Celtics were able to kind of fight back. Jaylen Brown did hit a few clutch threes, which was very helpful, but the Celtics perimeter defense was not very good. And they weren't getting those rebounds. That's when the Jazz started to kind of get some of those offensive rebounds and those loose balls.
Yeah, they're a little bit more aggressive on the rebounding end. They haven't been as of late. I mean, last game they were as well, but against the Rockets, they're definitely terrible, especially with a short-handed and short Rockets team. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I was pretty impressed with him as well, coming off your bench and just really, you know, maybe causing Tice to be on the trading block now, right?
So, I think it's Thompson on the trading block because he didn't play tonight because of health and safety protocols, but there was also a rumor this morning that Toronto's interested in him, so...
As long as someone's interested, that's all that matters. Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, I love Tice, but I think he's better as a bench and role player. I don't think he's a starting center, but I love me some Daniel Tice. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, I don't see him when he doesn't play Gobert or the Jazz, and I just know that whenever he does play the Jazz, he actually performs pretty well. So
yeah,
after hearing a lot of people don't like him, it's like, well, he's probably just one of those players that just performs against certain teams for some reason. So again, after getting the lead, the Jazz deflate themselves. The Celtics get aggressive and their aggressiveness increases a ton. And the Jazz get so lost on offense whenever a team ups the pressure so far this season. We've seen it a lot, and we saw it mainly last game as well. The Warriors just pressing continuously, getting in your face during defense, just continuously swiping the ball. And after the Jazz miss 8 shots in a row, Mike Conley and Donovan Mitchell save the day and make back-to-back threes to increase the lead again after you guys start climbing back. It's a tight game within this last 2 minutes. Within getting the game within 3, 104 to 101, what did you kind of see in that last 2 minutes?
Well, the last 2 minutes, I mean, right before that was looking promising because we got it right back. Jaylen Brown had a nice drive to the hoop to make it a 3-point game. So that was huge. But really just the last, I guess, you know, 2 minutes, it was tough because it was the 3-point game. Celtics had a chance. They called the offensive foul on Rob Williams for doing that kind of box out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think if Rob Williams didn't throw his arms up in the air, they probably wouldn't have called it.
Yeah,
but he kind of like threw his right arm out. So they called that. That was tough, but got a clutch stop. The toughest thing is, and I said this to you, James, during the game, Marcus Smart shooting threes is just a little bit tough. And at that point too, I think it was 104-101. Jason Tatum had the ball in his hands, had a good shot at two and kicked it out to Smart. At that point, the ball's got to be in Tatum's hands. It really, maybe Jaylen, maybe Kemba, there's no way the ball should be in Marcus Smart's hand with less than 5 seconds left on the shot clock in that time. So he missed it. Donovan Mitchell went right back down. Gobert set a nice screen, hit Mitchell got a wide open three, hit that. And then Marcus Smart again, maybe 5-10 seconds into the shot clock, just heaved up another three and missed. And that was basically the game for us. So, you know, love me some Marcus on the defensive end, but just shooting threes, it wasn't his night. I think he finished 2-10 for the night. So, you know, that's not going to help us too much.
No. Yeah, definitely when people that usually end up contributing towards the end of the game and they don't, that really does hurt and put a sting on it. What I saw was pretty much Mitchell showing up big twice. He wasn't like a consistent showing up big. He was just showing up big when it mattered. Once with the three to end that eight streak miss by our team, already talked about that. And then a three to widen the lead to 6 points with a minute left. And that's when the game felt over, in my opinion. Even though the Celtics want Gobert to shoot the free throws at the end of the game, Rudy goes 4-4 on you guys.
Yeah, that's been our story all year.
Yeah, and quite honestly, the Jazz end on 10-for-10 free throws with Bogey making 4, and I believe Donovan Mitchell making 2 of them.
He made, yeah.
And Yeah, it was just too far of a hole being down 6 points with a minute left and having, you know, going for 10 for 10. You got the opposing team's got to miss one or two a few times to get back in. So the Jazz win this one, 117-109. We actually get a 40-point quarter on you guys.
And I was going to say.
Yeah, you guys got 30 points on us. Still, again, a little bit loosened on defensive end, but that usually happens due to the tight game at the very end. So let's get into post-game report. Shaq says that Clarkson is the most important guy on that team. And I actually agree because I saw how the Jazz played without him last season. Without him this season, I think it would be same old story. I don't think Niang's there to step up. I think Ingles will be deflated to go in there and not have a guy who can be an aggressive scorer. And so I do agree. So that's, hey, Shaq, you're getting me to like you again after, you know, growing up liking you so much. And now I'm kind of bitter. So do you want to go over the Celtics stats or at all? If not, I'll just go over the Jazz stats.
Yeah, just a little bit. I mean, Jaylen Brown, pretty solid game, 28 points. Did only shoot 4 3-pointers. Did have a minus 14, though, which I thought was a little interesting. And then, like I said, when you take Tatum out of the game, it's tough. He had a plus 13. So you can see when he's not on the court, the Celtics aren't the same team, especially tonight. You could definitely see it. And then Rob Williams, like I said, Jazz fans, Rob Williams is like our Jordan Clarkson. No, we didn't re-sign him or sign him in free agency. We drafted him a few years back, actually slipped in the draft because of some knee injuries. But if you're ever bored and on YouTube, look up Rob Williams alley-oops. They're pretty fun to watch. Yeah. He catches anything within range. I think he would be a fun guy to see in the dunk contest maybe next year. So definitely, I mean, those were the positive points. I know I kind of touched upon the negative points. I mean, Kemba Walker showed up in the second, didn't really do too much at the end there, 16 points, only 5 assists. And then obviously Marcus Smart coming back from injury, just not doing it on the offensive end. Did have a really good defensive run in the fourth quarter, like you were saying, James. They were able to force Conley and Donovan Mitchell into some tough passes, which I'll give them credit. They were able to make those passes. I know Bogey hit one of those threes, yeah. Which was clutch. So that's why. But overall, tough loss. Tough loss to a good team.
Yeah. No, it was a very fun game. It's better than watching a blowout and then having to do a podcast over about it on either side.
Yep.
I probably would have just canceled if we would have. I'm like, no, I don't want – or just have you do the podcast and I'll just sit there and
just not
upload it. And maybe they'll hear me sobbing in the background. 48% field goals for the Jazz. We like to, again, stay around 50%. 44% three-pointer made, so well over the 40% that we'd like to see. We were out rebound 38 to 45. You guys got 16 offensive rebounds. I mean, but I don't really want to critique it because, as we were talking about before the podcast, I didn't really notice it until I looked at it. Like, wow, we were out rebounded. But it didn't seem like it was hurting us too much as it has in the past. 23 assists on 38 field goals. That's around the 60% that we want. And 17 turnovers after, I believe, we had 13 in that first half. So we really cleaned it up in that second half. So as I was talking to Jack before the podcast, my computer decided to die on me. I had to force restart it, and then all my work was lost in that first quarter. I had to go back and rewatch it. So ask me about the first quarter of this game. I'll really tell you about it because I've watched it twice now. But I won't have the over under the 25 points this one because it went back to 32 games in when I last saved it. So note to myself, if I'm listening to this, which sometimes I do, hit save after every single time.
Or use Google Docs.
Google Docs. Yeah, I guess I could do that. I just use Notepad on mine, but I guess I could do that. It would do the same thing and it saves automatically.
True.
So you want to go over your notes of the game or your three clovers or whatever you want to call it?
Yeah. So I guess I'll go, I know you do F and then you hop into C, B, A. So I guess I'll do, I had four ready to go. So I guess my fourth clover of the game, for us, I'm going to go. I wanted to go with Marcus Smart, but his defense is really good and he's come back from injury, so I'll give him a little bit of a break. I'm going to go with Grant Williams. Not the best game, 17 minutes, minus 3 point differential, only scored 2 points, missed a couple open threes. As he's been doing all year over with the Celtics, was letting guys get rebounds over him. Not even guys named Rudy Gobert, other smaller guys, yeah. Donovan Mitchell, even Derek Favors, who the Celtics were kind of taking advantage of when Gobert was on the bench. So I got Grant Williams as my, I guess, fourth F note, fourth Clover.
Yeah.
my C note, so kind of an average game. This might surprise a few people. I'm going to go with Jaylen Brown. I know he had 28 points, did play 39 minutes, still shot over 50% from the field. But for someone that was driving to the rim as much as he wasn't really drawing any fouls. Did have 7 assists, but really it was that point differential. His defense wasn't on par. And I've obviously ordered a Jaylen Brown jersey, so got to be hard on my guys sometime. but definitely, still a good scoring night. Second Clover or B note, you want to call him. I'm going to go with Rob Williams, 7 of 10 from the field, had some really nice blocks, had some really nice offensive rebounds. He had 3 offensive rebounds. And so did Tice actually too, which was a little bit surprising to me, but 9 rebounds. He did have 1 assist. Did have a couple nice blocks, like I said, in clutch time, which was helpful. Had a +4 differential as well. So definitely a spark for the Celtics. And then my A note or my first Clover. Also, James, I like how we're doing Clovers and it's St. Patrick's Day. Probably when people are listening tomorrow. It works out. But I'm going to go with Jason Tatum. I mean, that, like I said, the point differential was huge, 29 points. The Celtics were a different team when he was off the court. So it's too bad he can't play every minute. But if he was doing that now, he would be exhausted come playoff time if we get to the playoffs. but I, you know, just what he's doing is amazing. Just the runs that he's able to do, you know, the athleticism that he has. I think he's going to be a superstar in this league. Him and Donovan Mitchell, I know, are good friends. So I think they're going to be, hopefully maybe eventually we'll get a Celtics Jazz finals and we can see the two of them square off. But, you know, I'm excited to see what Tatum can do for years to come. And this was just kind of another example on a national level of what he can do.
Yeah. I mean, again, we talked about how some teams missed out on the opportunity, but the Celtics did not. So their loss, your gain. We'll get into my notes of the game. F note being Bojan Bogdanović. He didn't do terrible this game, but he's still just the worst player of this game so far, or at the end. 12 points on 3 of 9 shooting, so 33%. 6 rebounds, so he was a little bit more aggressive that way. And 2 assists with 3 turnovers, all those turnovers being in that first quarter. So, I mean, it's not terrible, and I try to stay pretty consistent unless it's like an overall, like no one did terrible. Everyone did their job. It's just some people had lower stats, but Bojan was just still not there on his shooting that we're used to last year. C note of the game is Donovan Mitchell. I almost gave it to Mike Conley, but I think Mitchell filled up the stat sheet a little bit better, even though he missed a lot more shots. 21 points, 5 assists, 2 rebounds, 1 steal. And again, those 2 clutch 3s at the very end of the game to really seal this game for us. Being out of the game was Joe Ingles coming off the bench with 14 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, and plus minus a positive 13. And the A note of the game is Rudy Gobert with 16 points, 12 rebounds, 1 assist, 4 blocks, plus and minus plus 14. And Rudy Gobert is trying to catch up to Turner. Why did I say Taylor? I don't even know who that is.
I mean, Jason Tatum.
Yeah. Yeah, so Rudy's trying to catch up to Miles Turner to become the blocks leader. He is currently 14 blocks behind him, but he's also played 2 more games than him as well. So let's see if Rudy can catch up. He's been getting a lot more blocks as of late. So let's get into tonight's games. I don't know if you have them pulled up. I have them pulled up now.
I actually haven't really been paying too much attention. I was watching this. I filled out my March Madness bracket before the game. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I still need to do that.
Let's see. Yeah, we got, let's see, the Heat over the Cavs. So that's not good for the Celtics for 2 reasons, because we were, I think us and the Heat were tied as of tonight, I think, or maybe the Heat were half a game ahead. Yeah, with that win now, the Heat are, I want to say they are
they're a 22. Game and a half ahead of you.
Yeah, so now they're a game and a half with 22 and 18. We're 20 and 19. And we play Cleveland tomorrow. So usually coming off a loss isn't a good news for the Celtics.
Yeah.
What else did you have? What else you got for games?
76ers up 99 to 90 or win 99 to 96 wow. over the Knicks, who I picked aren't going to make the playoffs. And then they had to go and wait. No, they didn't get Oladipo, did they? That was a
no. They did not.
I was like, well, there goes my prediction. Bulls 123 over the Thunder 102, and the Hawks 119 to 107. Whenever I see the Rockets lose. It's always like surprising for me, but then I remember, oh, they gave away everyone.
I was going to say the Hawks have won six in a row now.
Yeah, and the Rockets have lost, what, 16 in a row?
Yeah, I was waiting for the Celtics. 17. To, 17. I was waiting for the Celtics to lose to them because the other night the Celtics played them, and I was like, here it is, 15 in a row. Now's the time.
I was thinking that too, is like, you know, first game back and we'll lose to the Rockets and everyone's going to, oh, yeah, you remember when they lost the Rockets with eight people on their team?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Then we would have definitely been dismissed for the rest of the season, even if we blew out every team by 30. Pelicans right now are leading the Trailblazers 51-35. I trashed the Pelicans like two podcasts ago, and ever since they've been undefeated. So I said I'm no longer going to be supporting them, and I still don't. So Pelicans are probably going to lose this game. Timberwolves are up against the Lakers early 24-22 with 3:33 left in that first quarter. And getting into standings, sorry, we dropped you below the Charlotte Hornets tonight.
The Charlotte Celtics basically with Gordon, Hayward, and Terry Rozier now, but that's okay.
Well, yeah, that's true. And for some reason I kept on thinking Kemba Walker was I kept on thinking that Kemba Walker was on the Washington Wizards. I'm like,
no, wish he was. Right. No,
I'm like, no, he was never on the Wizards. He was on the Hornets. I had to keep thinking about that. Philadelphia 76ers with the number one. So Jordan's happy, of course. Brooklyn, number two. Milwaukee, three. And that kind of rounds up your kind of top tier of the Eastern Conference. Then you get into the muddy part with Miami at four, Charlotte five, Boston six, Atlanta at seven, and New York at eight to kind of round out that second tier with Chicago, Indiana, Toronto rounding up for that final two seeds for that fourth, and Washington, Cleveland, Orlando, and Detroit kind of still in that bottom tier with Washington surprisingly losing four in a row after I thought they were going to get it together, and they haven't.
Yep.
Getting into the Western Conference, Utah, and I would say Phoenix now is kind of separating them into the top tier, especially going 8-2 as of late. So I'll count them in that top tier. I've been keeping the Jazz alone for a while.
Well, yeah, because they're going to go to the finals.
Yeah, okay.
Everyone who's listening to your podcast right now probably just turned it off, so I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, so when I was on the Hard Hitting Sports podcast, we kind of gave our finals prediction, and Jack predicted Suns going to the finals. So, sure, anything can that. I mean, I keep on saying that to myself, like, man, any team in the West can go into the finals. Just... you know, the wrong seven game series matchup, any team can go in. But anytime I hear is like, yeah, the Suns will go down, I'm like, ah, no, they won't. Like, it's kind of contradicting what I'm thinking. Because if someone says, oh, Dallas will get in there, I'm like, no, they won't, but they could.
Yeah.
So the Lakers, Clippers, and let's say Denver and Portland kind of are now in that second tier. San Antonio, Dallas, Golden State, and Memphis round out the top 10 and also the third tier. New Orleans and the Thunder are kind of looking in on that fourth tier, but still two games behind the 10 seed with Sacramento, Houston, and Minnesota as the losers of the West so far. So, so before we go, Jack, I want you to talk about why you guys, yourself and Jordan, got into podcasting, and what does your podcast have to offer to the listeners of the Jazz Notes, so they can definitely tune in and hear you guys banter and yell at each other. It's not that often, but it's
I was gonna say we're on pretty good terms. We're not ESPN. So Jordan and I were buddies in college. We've known each other for almost about 6 years now. We're 2 years out. And Jordan played football over at Bryan. I played rugby for a little bit of time, but always was a big sports fan. You know, for the most part, it was football with Jordan and I, but with him being a Yankees fan, myself being a Red Sox fan, you know, we would banter baseball, football. Recently, he really started to get into basketball, and I had always been a lifelong Celtics fan. So back right before Christmas, I just texted him. I said, "Hey, you want to start a podcast?" And he was like, "Sure, let's do it." And Jordan actually did have a YouTube channel, back for the 2019 NFL season called Washed Up Wednesdays, that he did by himself. I was still living in Pennsylvania at the time, so I wasn't really able to, this was before Zoom was a thing. Mm-hmm. So I never was really able to hop on with him or anything like that. So we got it started. If you go back and listen to our first episode, we have no idea what we're doing. We still are kind of learning. I think tomorrow we're recording episode 15. But basically what we have to offer, we're pretty diverse in the sports that we watch. I'm a Boston fan, but I'm pretty into the whole league. Like as you heard James say, I really enjoy watching like the Suns, Jazz, Trailblazers, baseball. I'm weird. I can sit down and watch a 9-inning game of any team. I have a goal to get to all 30 MLB stadiums. So baseball is definitely my top sport. And then football, I mean, obviously a Pats fan, but again, we'll sit down and watch a whole football Sunday, start to finish. And then Jordan is a Yankees fan, obviously, like I said. He is a 76ers fan, I know we've mentioned. And he's also an Arizona Cardinals fan, which is a little unorthodox for someone from Long Island. But, you know, and he's the football guy, definitely played throughout his whole life. He's coaching now. Definitely just a unique perspective. We try to be as unbiased as possible. And really just dig into the nitty gritty. We're trying to cut down, most of our podcasts go a little bit on the longer side. We're trying to cut down, I think, just cause we try and just say all our knowledge. We know that's not the point of a podcast. So, definitely give us a listen, give us feedback. We're on Instagram, Twitter, we're on TikTok now. Our TikToks have actually been doing pretty well. So, if anyone's looking just to talk with us, message us. We've had a few people reach out and we've had some really productive conversations with people. We get good guests like James on. So, definitely a good time.
Yeah. So of course, we met each other on a Instagram group chat that, Sports City Podcast kind of put together to get everybody back, get on, and kind of the sole purpose was to do these collaborations. Listen to a lot of the podcasts, and this one was definitely the ones that stuck out to me early, mainly because a lot of those podcasts, don't want to trash too many of them or say any names, but it seems like the chemistry is not quite there and everybody's trying to outsmart some people, and maybe should give them a second chance because a lot of those were first episodes. But definitely from episode one, I thought it was really good, kept me listening. And yeah, it was good to start collaborating, try to get feedback from this one, see if people like it, maybe start getting other fans of other teams who do podcasts on and see if this works more, but, definitely a lot longer than what I usually do my podcasts in. But again, thanks for coming on to the podcast and sharing your knowledge. And yeah, next time we talk Jazz Celtics, hopefully it is in the finals.
That would be awesome. I think if we did that, like we'd have to do every game together. I don't think there'd be any other way.
Yeah, there might be one or two games after that where we won't want to talk to each other.
Yeah, if it goes seven games, I don't know about that, but we'll see.
Well, we can dream. Hopefully it happens, but who knows. So again, thanks for listening. So jump on Instagram at, what is it? The Hard-Hitting Sports Undercast.
Oh, I gotcha. It is Hard-Hitting Sports _ Podcast.
Yep. And mine is The Jazz Notes, all one word. You want to give your TikTok at or whatever it's called?
Yeah. So, well, Twitter I have up here. We're just Hard-Hitting Pod, no underscores, no anything like that. And then TikTok, we are Hard-Hitting Sports, no underscores or any funny business like that.
Yep. And I'm just on Instagram, and then I do have a Facebook page, but everything from Instagram or on Facebook is from Instagram. You can also email questions to me at thejazznotes@gmail.com for those overseas. I know I get a few questions from people overseas. Always good to hear from you guys and hear your input. And as well, as just like Jack said, you can always reach out to me on Instagram. And I do have a few conversations myself with some people of what they observed. And sometimes I input their thoughts onto the podcast as well. So before we go, do you want to say your team? Go your team? Or
that's what I was going to do. Yeah. I know you always end with go Jazz. So I'm going to say go Celtics. And hopefully it's a good rest of the season for us.
Yeah. And as always, go Jazz.